We are up to Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Yud. Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bo koloi havecha. Rejoice. Es here means with Yerushalayim v'gilu bo, and rejoice within. Pasuk Yud. Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Yud. Rejoice, and two expressions of joy. Koloi havecha, all those that love Yerushalayim, sisu itah masos, rejoice with it. Ita masos, joy, two, a combination of joy, kol hamis avim olecha, all those that in the past have mourned. This everyone knows, this famous Maimon Chazal. Here comes the Maimon Chazal that kol hamis avim, it's a gemara in Tainis, Daf Lamed, or if you go to Tisha B'Av, any type of Tisha B'Av gathering, you'll probably hear this Maimon Chazal at least 10 times. Why does the pasuk here conclude that who will rejoice? Who will rejoice? Itah masos, rejoice. Itah masos, rejoice with it. Joy to the doubling of joy. V'lama dafka hamisablim. Why kol hamisablim? Ba ela mikan amru kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim. Zoiche v'roye b'simchas. Anyone that mourns over Yerushalayim will see in its simcha. Now, not everyone knows the end of the Gemara. The Gemara concludes, and this for some reason is left out. Again, you go to Tisha B'Av and you hear a speaker, they'll say this 20 times. But the end will never say. V'she'enoi m'sabal al Yerushalayim, enoi roye b'simchas, will not see its joy. They just say the beginning, the positive. And there's something very interesting about this Maimon Chazal, and many darshanim have heard pick up on this in many different ways. It says zoicheb l'shon hoive, anyone that rejoices over mourns in the past, hamis ablim oleha zoiche in the present to zoiche v'roya b'simchas. It does not say in the Gemara yizkeh will merit in the future v'yireh and see b'simchasa. But it says right now, at the moment. That's very difficult, because right now the Yerushalayim is no different than the moment when we're mourning it. On Tisha B'Av, we're mourning for Yerushalayim. We're awaiting a greater level of revelation. We're waiting today. Baruch Hashem, today Yerushalayim it's on the way up. Things of Baruch Hashem are pretty good, relatively speaking. And we want more. We want the Beis Hamikdash. We want the Hashuas Hashchina. It's not now. It's not current. So what then does this mean? So there are different answers. One answer is that a person, what it means, Zoyche V'Roya B'Simchas, it means a person will merit to see how it's unfolding. Even though it's not yet rebuilt to the degree that it was in time of the Beis Hamikdash, but a person gets a certain sense of what's happening. Like today, you see there are forces in the world where things are coming together, leading to the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. People are making aliyah. There's construction. There is the Torah mitzvot. The observance of Torah mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael is growing by the day, more and more. You don't actually see the fulfillment, but you get a sense of an appreciation that I can see it happening. Maybe not this year, maybe not necessarily next year, but I can see in 50 years from now, it's very reasonable Mashiach will be here. Or in 20 years from now, in 10 years from now, it's in the present tense, Zoyche v'rebis simchasa v'yimisabal v'yishlein. Now you will gain insight that the day will come when you'll have insight into recognizing the day indeed will come when Yerushalayim will be fully rebuilt. And there's something also very interesting. I heard a very long shiur, a very fascinating shiur from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Schachter, one of the very big Talmidim of Soloveitchik. And I've heard this idea before him as well, but he developed it in much greater detail. There used to be a minhag, and there still is a minhag in some places in Eretz Yisrael, where on Tisha B'Av, it may sound shocking to us, they make jokes. Someone told me he remembers when he was in Chevron, this goes back about 50 years ago, he was an American boy, He came to in America. There wasn't that much doing in America 50 years ago in his circles. I don't know exactly his background. And Tisha B'Av, in his mind, Tisha B'Av was a sad day. You come to Shul, you sit on the floor, and you mourn over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh, Yerushalayim, Chevron, Shivas Chevron, and he would expect that the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash would be that much greater than what he's accustomed to in America. And then the Rosh Yeshiva gets up to say Kinnas or Eicha, and all the boys start throwing acorns. They start throwing acorns at the Rosh Hashiva, and he takes this like an ofraf. And the Rosh Hashiva, he took his talus, he covered himself up in the talus. I don't know if he was in the talus, because they didn't know the talus in Tisha B'Av, but he sheltered himself not to be hit by the acorns, by a barrage of acorns that were being thrown at him by the Talmidim. And it became a big joke. The whole thing was like a big joke. The Talmidim here are throwing acorns at the Rosh Hashiva, and everyone is laughing, because here, you know, you don't think the Rosh Hashiva is a person of dignity. And this individual, I mean, he told me first, he was in shock. He couldn't believe. And he never really understood what this was all about, why they doing this. So he told me, he inquired as to why this was so. And they told him something which, I don't know if it's true, this is what he told me, that years ago, the mourning over the Churban of Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael was so intense, was so great, they actually mourned with intensity that it came lidei sakana. People would pass out, people would get sick, they would get depressed, they wouldn't recover, they would fast for days on end, not just Tisha B'Av. They fasted in advance of Tisha B'Av, and it became lidei sakana. To the point where they instituted they should have some levity. They should lighten up the day at least to remove the intense mourning that they were accustomed to. And of course, over time, the rejoicing and the jokes got more and more, and the mourning got less and less, until it got out of hand. People forgot what Tisha B'Av was really all about. Okay, but you have to, let's say you go back 100, 200 years, I don't know how many people live in Eretz Yisrael, we have some time to grow up, people grow up, send a delegation to establish Eretz Yisrael. At one point there was an intense degree of mourning, which came lidei sakana, and they had to lighten it up with a couple of jokes, and this was one example where they would throw acorns. Acorns are very common, in that part of Eretz Yisrael. They would throw acorns at the person that was leading the kinnas or the eicha. Okay, that's what he told me. All right, then this past year I heard a shir. This is an old shir from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and he quoted a whole series of he dug up articles and old svarim. And the most interesting of them all was an article from America, Tisha B'Av in America. I don't know how many years ago it was. Must have been when they first colonized America. It must have been probably close to 200 years. I mean, I don't know when the first Jews came to America. Where they were talking, it was a record of a conversation or some speech, and the person wished his fellow Jews a merry Tisha B'Av. I want to wish you a merry Tisha B'Av. What? A merry Tisha B'Av? And then he inquired. I don't remember the details. If you want, you can listen. You can find the shir online at yutorah.org. Just type in Tisha B'Av. Look for Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and I'm sure there's a title where you'll right away pick up the theme. And he quoted, and then he went, he delved into this, and he found many sources that indeed it used to be the minhag, at least among the children, to make jokes and to make leitzonis on Tisha B'Av. And then he quotes a very large collection of poskim which have come forward and said the time has come to abolish this custom of making jokes on Tisha B'Av. But where does it come from? This Gemara that we quote, this pasuk, Kol Hamisabel al Yerushalayim Zoiche, right now, hoive, that when you mourn over Yerushalayim, it brings joy today, this very moment. So it's a day of mourning, and typically the way there was a division of labor. The adults, the chashuvim, would practice the mourning. They would be in a state of mourning, and the younger crowd, the younger chevra, the children, would make litzanis with the encouragement of the adults, in order to express the emuna of this pasuk, Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bo kol ha'avecha. Who will rejoice? Sisu ita, rejoice with it. Mosos kol hamis ablim oleha. The combination of joy with mourning, as the Gemara says, Belashon Hoyve, Zoiche, in the present tense, Viroye Besimchasa. So this was done. The adults would mourn, and the children would throw things and make litzanis and do different things to lighten up the day. Not, as this person told me, because the intensity was so great, it came l'idei sakana. They had to do something to hold back people from fainting and from perishing in their mourning. But because there has to be a degree of simcha on Tisha B'Av when you're misabel, to express the emuna, the day will one day come where there'll be joy. And that makes sense. That's why they used to wish each other have a merry Tisha B'Av. Now what happened over time, as you all can imagine, the adults became less and less, and the children who were accustomed to making jokes never matured. Okay, today we live in a world where everyone is a child. Just a question of how big of a child. And who has more toys? And the toys just get more expensive as you get older in life. But we're all children today. So the whole... The cars, the nice, you know, you start with little matchbox cars. And then you have nicer cars and more expensive cars. Dollhouse turned into mansions and vacation homes. And so on and so forth. But we're all children today, self-included. And the whole nature, the more important part of the day of mourning, got lost. So virtually all of the Gedolei Yisrael in the last 100 years have come along and said, Adkan. This custom, it's a good custom, it's a minhag, right? It's a true minhag. Zoyche v'roye b'simchasa. It's over. No more. Only mourning. No one should throw acorns or throw things at the one who's reading or play a joke. That's why today we don't anymore, at least in, I think in our circles, see people making jokes on the Tisha B'Av. But it's documented, and if you ask some of the old timers, they will tell you this was a real custom in ancient times from this pasuk and the medrash which complements the pasuk. Okay, let's go further. We go to the Chavetz Chaim, Project Inspire, and Holocaust movies, and so on and so forth. Today it's become quite, it's remarkable what Tisha B'Av has become in all communities, whether among the Sfardim and among the Ashkenazim, all of the programs, the videos, it's Yoim Iyun, just online itself. There are, you know, if you can go online, they have the OU has a program, YU has a program, and then they have all these other smaller websites. It's quality stuff. You know, these are the major league darshanim, and they the whole day, and they are shiurim. It's remarkable what has become. It's a very impressive merit for our generation that Tisha B'Av has turned into a, as Chazal say, kora, Olai Moed, a festival, a day that coming together to be misabel in a proper, dignified way for the Churban of Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph describes the reward that will come to the world for Klal Yisrael at the time of Mashiach. Levan Tinku, now the mashal given here is a child nursing from its mother. Levan Tinku Usavatem, you will nurse Usavatem, and you will be satisfied. Me showed from the breast. Showed is the breast, referring to a child nursing to be satisfied. Me showed from the breast. Tan Chu Meho, her comfort. Let's see over here how the Mitzvah translates this in more precise. The Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah, meaning the Pasuk, Hamas'al Melech, those that mourn, L'man Shatir B'Simchasa, V'Tinku V'Tispu Mishtei Tanchu Mecha, they will nurse from the breast of her comfort. The Pasuk goes further, L'man, so that Tomotsu means to suck, v'his anatem, and you will rejoice, take delight, miziz kevoida, from the splendor. Ziz is like a spark, light of kevoida, of its honor. I saw in a medrash, not here in the sefer I have here, I saw this in in the sefer called B'Shem Omrei. I used to always want to use that sefer to prepare. I never had much time to actually go into that sefer, because it's it's a lot to read. And I have to really search hard to find something which is appropriate to say over, but I did come across something there that it says here in this pasuk, four expressions of redemption. Number one is Laman Tinku, okay, that's number one, it's to nurse. Number two is Usavatem, to be sated, Mi Shoy de Tanchumecha, from the breast of her comfort. And then Laman Tomotsu is number three. And then it says, "V'his anatem," and is to take delight in the joy of her honor. Four forms of joy: and nursing, satisfaction, sucking, and delight. So there's a medrash. I don't remember which medrash this is because I don't have it in front of me. That says this corresponds to the four lashonis of geula, just like Hashem in Mitzrayim, the Yitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. The four Lashonis of Gula, which is the major theme of Yom Tov of Pesach. And Yom Tov of Pesach is just nothing more than a mashal. It's more than a mashal, but it's also a mashal for the Geula Ho'asida. It is it's the model. It's the blueprint for the Geula Ho'asida. So those four expressions, the Yotzeis, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, will turn into La'asalav, Yitam HaMashiach, these four different types of enjoyment, four different types of satisfaction, which will be Tinku, Usfatem, Tomotsu, and the His Anatem, Mizid Kvoida. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ki Choyama Hashem, so Sashem, Hini Noite Elecha, I will turn. All Elecha, Elecha means to her, to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. What will I turn to her? I will turn kinahar, it will be like a river, shalom. So you have to really read the word, you have to read the words out of order. I will turn to it peace, and the peace will be like a nahar. Noite eleha, I will turn to it, yushlaim, like a shalom, peace. That will be kinahar, like a river. Uchanachal shaitef, and like a flowing, a gushing stream. Kavoid goyim, the honor of what else will I bring to it? I will bring the kavoid. What will flow in this river of peace? And the nachal shaitef, the kavoid goyim, the honor of the nations, which means that the nations of the world will provide the wealth and honor to Eretz Yisrael. V'naktem. And Klal Yisrael will nurse from the Goyim. The Goyim will serve as a wet nurse for Klal Yisrael. They will provide material goods. Al tzad tinosehu, on the side you will be lifted. The al birkayim tisha oshu means tisha oshu means delight. Like the pasuk ki yeled sha'ashuin, like a delightful child. And on my knees, Hashem says, on my side they will be lifted, and on my knees they will be played with in a delightful way, just like a person as a child. So a child, the mother nurses the child, and the child plays with the child by lifting up the child on her knees. So you put the child on your knees, and you shake the child, and you play with the child. So this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. They will be like a infant in the hands of the mother, who will nurse the child and who will take delight with the child on her knees. Let's see the pasuk base in the mitzvos. Noite elecha ete el Yerushalayim. I'll turn to Yerushalayim shalom peace. Habe a lot of peace. Kamei nohar, like a river. Uchvoid hagoyim v'osram, and the honor of the nations and their wealth etelah will be turned and directed towards Yerushalayim. Lovoy b'merutza will come very swiftly. Kenachal shaitef, like a gushing stream. Vinitem atem you. So this pasuk according to the mitzvahs goes back. This word according to the mitzvahs goes back to the avei lekol hamisablam olecha and pasuk yud. Atem hamesablim alecha, you who have mourned upon your shlaim, to you Yoinkim now will nurse es ha'oisher hazeh this wealth v'hu derech mashal lemar k'may atin agyonek ha'chalev chilev me'ein. Just like a tinuk nurses milk me'ein omol, kein toichlu k'vay ha'akum ha'shalo yegatem ba, without any effort. Just like a child nurses effortlessly, does not take much for a child to, in order to enjoy the benefit of his mother's milk, so too Klal Yisrael will enjoy the wealth of the nations of the world without any effort. They will not have to work hard to gain sustenance and parnasa for themselves. So that's according to the Mitzudas, the nature of this mashal. It will be parnasa without yegia. Al satino say, what does that mean? On the side, you will be lifted. Rot Salaimar, to you, Mechubadim Me'od, you will be greatly honored. Ulefish Shehamim Shilam Latina Kayonik, since we've been going to a child that's nursing, Omar Losh Anoifel Latina Kayonik Shenesim also Al Hazaraya, Bitsat Haguf, a child that's always lifted. You carry, you don't carry a child in front of you. You always hold the child on your shoulder, on one side of your body. The child will be lifted on the side of the mother. So, and you take delight. You play with the child al habir kaim on your knees l'samchay, to give joy to the child, and that is what's going to be the klal yishol at this point in time. Pasuk yud gimel ki ish. Now we have another mashal. Klal yishol will be like an ish asher imo tinachamen, whose mother gives him comfort. Kain so to onochi I anachemchem, I will give you comfort. Ubi yushlaim tinuchamu, and your comfort will come in the city of Yerushalayim. Now, first of all, this pasuk yud gimel appears to be completely different mashal from pasuk yud beis, because in pasuk yud beis we have a complete pasuk, and really goes back to pasuk yud aleph as well, where we're comparing klal yishol to an infant, to a yoinek. And the yoinek is nursing, and it's nursing without any effort. And it's being played with, it's being lifted to the side of the mother, and it is being lifted and is jumping around on the mother's knees. And then suddenly, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we compare Klal Yisrael not to an infant, but to a mature adult, ki'ish, like a mature adult. So in Echadami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that there are advantages to all different parts of life. When a person is an infant, there are certain advantages, but there are drawbacks. A person lacks intelligence and lacks the seichel to appreciate the good that he has. Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, in addition to the benefits of a child who is an infant, that you will also experience the intellectual enjoyment of what the reward that you are receiving as an adult. In other words, a child has it all. There's no better life than an infant. Has everything is provided, has a place to sleep, has what to eat, doesn't have to work, everything is, has toys, has everything. But the child, youth, is wasted on the young. The child does not appreciate, does not have the intellectual capacity to appreciate what he has. Here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem says, you'll be almost like an ish. You'll have all the benefits of an infant, plus the intellectual maturity to appreciate all of that Hashem has bestowed upon you. And then it goes further to say that there will be comfort like a mother, Asher Imay Tenachanad. This is a very difficult concept. Rav Schwab, he discussed this at great length. And he says, normally a mother gives comfort to an infant, to a small child. A mother does not generally give comfort to an adult child, to an adult. Let's say you have a child, someone who's 40 years old, he's 50 years old, he has a bad day at work, or he has a problem, he suffers some type of tragedy. So he goes to his mother, he tells his mother his problems.
Is he married?
Yeah, let's say he's married.
He
doesn't go to his wife, right? Doesn't go. Exactly, it's all part of the problem, it's all part of the question. So he'll go to his wife, or he wouldn't go to his mother. An ish, a child who has a bad day at school, a 5-year-old kid comes home from school, who does he complain to? His mother. And his mother says, don't worry, I'll speak to the teacher. I'll talk to the kid, the bully who's giving you problems. I'll talk to his parents. I'll take care of it for you. A mother of a small child gives comfort to her child. But it's not normal, or it's not expected, that the mother of an adult will give him comfort. That's exactly what it says. It says there, ki ish. Ish is an adult. Not the yoinek from the previous pasuk. Asher imoy tinachamenu. Now, so what does that mean? It means then that the mother is extremely wise. If the mother has the ability to give comfort to its child who is an adult, we're not just dealing here with an ordinary mother. We're dealing with a mother. Rabbi Shab doesn't really answer the question. He just presents the question, and he just says there's more to it, which we're just grasping for straws. But it's a really tough question.
Terry gives you a question, but it's a hard question.
Rivka, right? He quotes that. So Rivka Vayinachem, but there his mother died. There, that's not what the pasuk says. There Sarah died, and now he married Rivka. Vayinachem Yitzhak acharei imo. He found in his wife the comfort that he found in his mother.
But after Rivka, the mother of Yaakov. Remember Yaakov? She was the one who gave him the Eitzah. She pushed him with the Eitzah to go get the bracha.
That's what that. She told him to get the brachas, then she told him to run away, and then that was Rivka and Yaakov. But let's focus on Yitzhak. When Yitzhak got married, Yitzhak was 40 years old when he got married. Sarah, and it's when he got married, it says that he found comfort in his wife. So this is what Schwab seems to be saying. He found Yitzhak was 40 years old. Now, by Yitzhak 40 years old is like for us to be 1,000 years old. His level of maturity at 40 years old, he can't even begin to fathom. Okay, then in time the Avos, when they were 3 years old already, they were more advanced in intellectually than any person living today, 100 years old. But when he was 40 years old, now he gets married to Rivka. Vayinochim Yitzchak achareimo. So that means that before he married Rivka, his mother died when he was 37 years old. Right, she was 30. He was 3 years ago. His mother died, and he still found in her comfort. Because now that it says he found comfort in his wife, which means that until he got married, he still found comfort in his mother. But he's 30. He's 37 years old.
Right.
He's 37 years old. 37 years old. Most people today, you look at them in our society today, the guy with the time, if someone's 25 years old, they have nothing to do with their mother. They're already long gone. They have nothing to do with their mother. They're ready. Like, you know, that's it. They're out of the house. They're married. And even if they're not married, they're independent. They live their own life. And they call their mother once a week. Hello, what's doing? Can they talk to their mother? They find comfort in the mother. Obviously, the Yitzchak had with his mother, at least we take that out of this pasuk, a very different type of relationship. Yitzchak had, when he was 37 years old, and by him 37 again means, like by us, 1,000 years old, he had a very complex relationship with his mother. And now when he got married to Rivka, that relationship was transferred to his wife. And here it says in this pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give comfort to Klal Yisrael, Yimos HaMashiach, it will be ki'ish, like an adult. Avshab wants to say maybe it's something like on the level of Yitzchak and Sarah. Because we do find such a concept there, Vayinochim Yitzchak Achale Imo, Ki'ish Asher Imo Tinachamenu. Came so too, Onochi Oi Anachemchem, will give you comfort, and your comfort will come in, Uvi Yerushalayim Tinuchamu, will be found in Yerushalayim. Why not father? Now, this is also something, a very interesting idea. You cannot take this lightly. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a mother. Ruba de Ruba, when you daven, Hashem is compared to a father. Avinu Malkeinu, he's in a father. He's a king. Sometimes called a Zokain. He's a Gibar. All these various expressions, the Nusach HaTfilah. But you don't find the Nusach HaTfilah HaKadosh Baruch Hu being compared to a mother. Here in this pasuk, Asher Imoy Tinachamenu, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting in the capacity of a mother. Okay, so that's something just to take note of. Now, one other very important thing about this pasuk, this haftar, this parak is the parak of what we lay in for the haftarah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and we had this, we mentioned this before, we had this a few weeks ago, where now we're during the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, we lay in the Haftarah is from Prakim, from sections of Yeshaya, because Yeshaya was a Navi which gave Nechama to Klal Yisrael, And you have to have the Shivda Nechemta. If you're missing one of the Shivda Nechemta, the 7 weeks between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, you're missing out on the prescription. Chazal prescribed comfort the Klal Yisrael, and it's very precise. So what do you do when one of those Shabbosos, namely Parshas Shoftim, falls on, not Shoftim, Parshas Re'eh, falls on Rosh Chodesh? So we mentioned there's a machlokes between that Minog Ashkenaz and Minog Sfard. Minog Ashkenaz is to pass over the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh, Perek Nun Dalid, which I believe is Aniya Soyara, no? Where Aniya Soyara is the second half of Perek Nun Dalid, and instead to lane the classic Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, HaShemayim Kisi, which is this Perek, which will come to the end, where it talks about Midei Shabbos B'Shabbat, Midei Chodesh B'Chodeshai. How are you allowed to abandon the Shiva de Nechemta? How could you do so? The doctor has prescribed a prescription of comfort. The answer is this pasuk. Because this pasuk is also a pasuk of comfort. All the haftaros explicitly deal with nachamu nachamuan, right? The first haftarah, comfort. Here it is. Ki'ish asher imoy tenachanenu. Kein onoichi anachemchem. I will give you comfort. I will provide for you comfort, Yerushalayim. So this Haftarah also, b'di'eved, can serve as one of the Shiva de Nechemta, this parak, because this parak explicitly has an expression of comfort. So that's why it is Minik Ashkenaz to forget about Perek Nun Dalid Aniyos Soyara, and instead to lay in HaShemayim Kisi, because you get both. At the end of the parak, you have the pasuk that discusses Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and you also have the pasuk that the Spirit gives over comfort. That is Minig Ashkenaz. Also, as we mentioned, what do you do? Then you do 2 weeks later on Parshas Kiseitze. On Parshas Kiseitze, once anyway you lay in the first half parak Nun Dalid, it's the Minig Nusach Ashkenaz to keep on going, to be Mashlim, and to lay in the second half parak Nun Dalid plus the Minig parak Nun Hey, the Haftarah of the Parshas. Parshas Re'eh. But Minhag Sfard holds no, you have to stick to the formula, the Shiva Nechemta, and they omit HaShemayim Kisi, and they stick to the original Shiva Nechemta, even though it does have this pasuk, Ish Asher Imoy Tenachamenu, period. Okay.
You can look at it in a different way. A pasuk that has two types of comforts here. Yud Beis must be like a physical or a material.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
In terms of riches.
Okay.
And here, what you said as far as the
psychological,
intellectual.
Come. Very good. Excellent. Very good. Very, very good. So we have. So Dr. Friedman is saying two different types of comfort: the material comfort and the comfort for the mind. Let's pass it. You'll see the sas libchem. You'll see, and your heart will rejoice. The atzmo sechem kadesha tifrachna. Your bones. That's a very interesting expression. The person's bones will, like grass, will blossom. The bones will develop. There must be something very, very deep in this analogy of. Okay, well, very good. You want Tchias HaMesim. The bones will... Okay, that's a very good idea. Your bones, Kadesh HaTefrach, will come out of the ground, like grass. People will, like seeds. When a person is a seed... Hashem's hand will be known to his servants. Vizoham es oiva. This is a very mystical. We don't know exactly what this means, but there are two ideas. There are avodov and there is oivav. There are two different groups living at this point in time. Hashem's enemies and Hashem's servants. Who are the enemies? There are different interpretations. Some of the enemies are the non-Jews, the goyim, who are living at this point in time, goyig u'mogoyig, and the umos ha'olam, that have caused pain and suffering to the Jewish people. And some want to attach oivav back to what we learned in the previous pasuk, this concept, this very mystical concept in this inyan is sefer Kabbalah called beirurim, selection, polarization among Jews themselves. The two classes of Jews that will exist at this point in time, and they will be polarized. Those that serve Hashem, traditionally, and those that try to invent a new secular religion of serving Hashem, and they will be called the Oivav, and Hashem will be angry concerning the Oivav. Key. Because Hashem at this point will come in fire, in a tempest. Sufa is a strong wind, a tempest of his chariots. Now that's a very mystical idea. L'hashiv b'chem apo too. L'hashiv here means to direct. L'hashiv here doesn't mean to take back, but it means to pay to pay back. I'm going to give back to you what you've given to me. It's an unusual expression. L'hashiv means, if you read the pasuk literally, L'hashiv means to hold back. It doesn't mean to hold, because it means shav, to return. It doesn't mean Hashem is holding back the anger that is coming forth. I'm going to hold it back. Just the opposite. Hashem is sending forth the anger. He's punishing the wicked. Why is punishing called returning? I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. When you violated my commandments, when you caused harm to my people, to my nation, you've caused me pain. Here, take that pain that you've given me, take it back to you. I'm returning it to you. L'hashif, to give back to people what they deserve, b'chema, with anger. Apo, his anger. So his apo is going to be intensified with fury, with heat. Vigaraso, and his shout, Bilaha ve'esh, with flames of fire. It's very spooky what this means, and what's going to happen in time of Mashiach. What's also very spooky is that it makes mention of Hashem's Maror Kivos of his chariots. We don't typically have this. There are numerous sections in Tanakh where Hashem describes the end of days when he's going to punish his enemies with fire and with anger. But you don't have that Hashem is going to come, the Chasufa Marki Vaisav, his chariots are going to arrive with a tempest and a strong wind. The Merkava, the chariot, it's very difficult. And it's also this is a very important expression, because this is all part of Perek Samach Vav, and Perek Samach Vav begins Hashemayim Kisi. There is a very mystical concept. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in two places. He's either Yoshev al Kisoy, Hashem is sitting on his throne, and sometimes Hashem is traveling. He's on the Merkava. Now you have Maisa Merkava. Yecheskel Sua Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Merkava means Hashem was traveling. Hashem, he left his throne. Sometimes Lahavdul Elif Alfei Avdolos, the President of the United States, at times is sitting in the Oval Office. He's sitting at his desk in the Oval Office. He's Yoshev al Kisoy. And at times, he's an Air Force One. He's in his Merkava. He's in the Beast. That's the name of the limousine for the president. It cost how many hundreds of millions of dollars that day? I mean, see a clip of what that Beast, fascinating engineering feat, the limousine of the President of the United States, and a special custom-designed limousine. They have even there stored his blood type in the trunk, air-conditioned. It's frozen at all times, just in case they need to give him a transfusion. So they have his blood type in the trunk, and it's an amazing feat to learn about. That's the Merkava. Dr. Friedman, the battery. Right. The Merkava is so here. So in this perek, we have both. The perek begins with Hashem saying. Perek Samachva begins with the idea. Kikar Hashem Hashemayim Kisi, the heaven is my throne. V'aretz Hadoim Ragloi. And here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards the end of the paragraph, the middle of the paragraph, is coming to punish the wicked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is traveling in Hashem, Bo'esh Yavo. Hashem is en route, en route. He's traveling, V'chasufa, and in a strong wind, Maror Kivosav, is his chariot. They're very different types of concepts. I once saw an explanation that Kisoy means when the world is accomplishing its goal. When Hashem is in the Merkava, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is. It's hard to. I don't know exactly what this means. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is traveling. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is traveling? He's in the process of bringing about some change in this world. Because when you travel, you are coming to accomplish something. You're changing your location. Kisa is where everything is. When Klai Yisrael is in a state of Shleimus, and they are serving Kodesh Baruch Hu, Merkava is where Kodesh Baruch Hu is now bringing change. What's the change? He's purging the world from the Rishon. Okay, we'll stop here with Pasuk Tes Zayin.